Welcome to this special report. I'm Brendan Palou. On the line with me is newly elected BC Greens leader Sonia Furstenau. Sonia, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
First off, Sonia, the province unveiled the details of its economic recovery plan. What did you make of it, and what do you think is lacking?
So I think, and let's start with the funding for this economic recovery plan, the $1.5 billion. And that funding was approved by all three parties in the BC legislature, the BC Liberals, us, the Greens, and of course the NDP, recognizing that we need to get moving as soon as we possibly can with recovery initiatives for everybody in BC, because we all feel this uncertainty, this anxiety that COVID-19 has brought upon us. We feel anxious about our health and well-being. We're anxious about our kids being back in school. Teachers and healthcare workers are anxious about their health and well-being. And the anxiety about financial security, about housing, about whether we're going to have jobs or if we can get jobs because so many people have lost jobs. So just recognizing that we're in this moment where we have to act with urgency, and that is what happened in the BC legislature this summer. The collaboration and cooperation across all three parties resulted in the ability for this government to bring forward this plan. We collaborated on it as part of our confidence and supply agreement. We put in our ideas and initiatives. And so it is a good starting place. It includes a lot of important initiatives for British Columbians to get through this immediate crisis we are in. But what I think we need to also recognize is we have to dream very big right now. So we're in this year 2020, where almost every month, I would say, it feels like we are having to adapt to a new normal. And these new normals are becoming increasingly difficult for all of us to thrive in. Right now, down here on the South Coast, we're wearing masks inside because we don't want to contract COVID-19. And we're wearing masks outside because the air is so thick with smoke from the fires in Western United States that it is hard to breathe when you go outside. And this is not a normal that I want my kids to have to accept as their present and their future. So let's build back and let's have a bigger imagination. So what could we have done? We could look at young people could be put to work, anyone who doesn't have employment, in restoring our natural environment, in getting the fuel load out of forests all over BC so that we don't have devastating fire seasons again, in making sure that our habitat is providing us with clean water, that we have clean air and good soil to grow local food. We could be beginning a massive retrofitting campaign in every community in BC to reduce the emissions from buildings and providing employment. We need to look at manufacturing, at value added, so that our forest industry becomes truly community supportive and sustainable. And we have to look at transition for workers in industries that are sunset industries. And if we looked at, for example, how do we build a green energy, a resilient energy plan for this province so that every region of BC is leaning in and creating that clean energy resilience so that we can know that whether you're in Prince George or Prince Rupert or down in the Kootenays, where they have a great example of clean energy production, you have a resilient energy that is clean, that creates jobs for communities that are family supporting. Let's dream big right now. And let's say we don't want to adapt to a new normal over and over and over again that's worse than our last normal. We want to build a much better normal for our kids.
Now, in the past week, we've seen about six NDP MLAs announce they'll not be seeking re-election, with some candidates already stepping forward to possibly fill those positions. Why do you think the Premier still hasn't called an election? And why is it a bad idea in your mind to hold one during a pandemic?
It is a bad idea because I want you to think about our Minister of Health and our Minister of Education, who should be working, as they have been, very closely with Dr. Bonnie Henry, our provincial health officer. But instead of working with her, they're on the campaign trail asking for donations and asking for votes. This is a terrible time to be considering an completely unnecessary election. We have stable government in British Columbia. We have a fixed election date. We have an agreement between us and the NDP that is working. The BC Liberals have been very clear that they want this government to continue working. And right now, we have to put service to the people of BC who need government in ways that I think a lot of us could have never imagined. But we need government to be there to making sure that there is housing for everybody this winter, that there are jobs for everybody this winter, that we are focusing on ensuring that we have safe, healthy environments for all of us to live in, that we are dealing with this urgent health crisis, recognizing that our hospitals are going to be getting more full in the weeks and the months ahead. We just had a record number of COVID cases yesterday. When you look at the graph of COVID-19 cases in BC, we have not bent the curve. That curve is going straight up right now. And this is a time for everybody to put service and to put responsibility first and foremost. And the idea of playing partisan games and trying to grab power when we have been lauded as a province for the exceptional response that we've had so far because of the cooperation and collaboration in this province in responding to COVID-19. It's irresponsible. And it's frankly just unacceptable that the Premier is willing to risk the health and well-being of the people of British Columbia for no reason. It's unnecessary.
Now, do you feel that maybe parties like yours are being put in a disadvantage as well in terms of campaigning and getting your message across if you do go back to the polls?
Look, I'm here in every way to be in service to the people in Cowichan Valley and to the people of BC, and I will be very clearly working very hard on that in whatever position we find ourselves. But I would suggest that there be some very sober second thoughts in the Premier's office and in the NDP party headquarters about the implications of calling an unnecessary election during a global pandemic at a time when, as I said, we can barely breathe the air down here in southern British Columbia, and we have an opioid crisis where we are losing far too many brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, sons and daughters to poisonous drug supply in this province. We have a mental health crisis that is growing because of all of the impacts of these challenges. This is the time for leaders to lead and to put the people that they represent at the forefront of every decision that they make.
Now, in regions like the North that is largely resource and industry-based, how do you make your party and your platform relevant?
So we are very much engaged in looking at a future that every community in BC can thrive. And so, as I said, if we lean into a clean energy economy where we are getting regional projects of where we're developing clean energy in every part of British Columbia, and I've worked to alongside Shirley Bond to support the efforts of a geothermal project on the eastern border of BC. There are incredible innovative wind projects happening in northern BC. We also need to look at how we stop being a province that exports our logs and our timber as raw resources. We need manufacturing. We need value added. Imagine if we lean into becoming a clean energy powerhouse in the world and become the center of excellence right in Prince George or in Northwest BC for innovation and education around clean energy technology. And we connect with the brightest minds and the greatest innovators on that. And we not only produce the energy we need for our communities right where we live, but we produce the innovations and inventions for the whole world to follow our lead. We need to dream big. We are an extraordinary province with incredible people, incredible resilience, incredibly hard-working, amazing citizens in this province. And all we have to do is say, of course, We want every community in this province to thrive. We have what it takes to get there. We have to look forward. We can't look backwards because we're not in the world that we were in 50 years ago. We have to be honest about where we are, but we have to dream very big about where we can get to so that our children and their children will look at our generation and say, you did it. You turned things around. You made the transition happen. You made it so that I could grow up and thrive in my community and stay in my community and raise my kids there.
What is your party stance on sectors like forestry, mining, oil and gas, and LNG, given that a number of them are considered the backbone and lifeblood of the economy? And how would you keep those sectors viable while also staying true to your platform?
We need to focus on transition. And so a viable sector shouldn't need $1 billion a year in subsidies from government. A viable sector can't be relying on fracking, which has incredible impacts to groundwater. We know that the earthquakes from fracking are causing instability in the areas around the dams in the Northeast. We can recognize what the data and the evidence tells us, which is if we invest in and lean into clean energy economy, we will produce more jobs. And those jobs will be far more resilient and far more sustainable than the jobs in a boom and bust economy. If we're producing energy for our own regions, those jobs become sustainable, not reliant on dropping prices, and we're seeing that globally. The oil companies themselves, British Petroleum, is looking at how they're transitioning away from petroleum and transitioning to clean energy. Let's get out in front of that. Let's not wait until we're coming to the table at the end of the game. We're coming to the table at the beginning, and we are being the leaders. We are going to invest in the education, the innovation, the technology. We are recognizing that high tech is an industry that can exist in any part of British Columbia. It needs the digital infrastructure, and then people can be having jobs in their home communities. I look at Duncan. We have an extraordinary animation studio in Duncan that has won Academy Awards for the work they're doing in our little town. We have to dream big, and we have to say, yes, our province was built very much as a resource economy. It's time to transition so that we can have those sustainable jobs for every community in this province that are not a boom and bust economy, that are resilient and long-lasting.
How would you support people in non-urban areas with fewer greener options to help contribute to things like climate change goals?
So this is one of the things at the outset. If we look at, for example, retrofitting our buildings so that we produce a lot of jobs and also outcomes, we reduce the emissions from building, the greenhouse gas emissions from the buildings, which is significant, and we create jobs and skills and abilities in the communities. We lean into the tech industry, which is an incredible growth industry that we have not even begun to tap the potential of in British Columbia. And we should be really recognizing that we want to look ahead to what's possible. We should be looking at manufacturing, value added, the mass timber industry that we have. Kolesnikov Lumber is using a combination of technology, value-added wood from community forest that is being sustainably harvested. And so you've got this virtuous circle where the forestry practices are sustainable, the jobs are sustainable, the output from the industry is sustainable, and suddenly your community becomes more firmly planted in what the future looks like. You're not reliant on whims and fortunes of a global economy. You're building that super strong local economy.
Given what we are seeing with the raging wildfires in California, Washington, and Oregon, and the fact that BC isn't too far removed from two record-breaking wildfire seasons in a row, how can the province better adapt to be more environmentally friendly?
So this is a perfectly made solution that combines COVID recovery with exactly what you're talking about. How do we become more wildfire resilient? So we have a lot of young people who are unemployed right now who need employment. And so we should be looking at programs that get them out onto the land, get them removing the fuel load, restoring forests that have been lost in fires, restoring ecosystems, ensuring that we have clean water, that our land base is able to sustain us and make sure that we can have healthy communities. And we would be solving two problems at once, which is getting people to work who need work right now, but also creating safer, more resilient, and sustainable communities.
Last question I have for you. What are your thoughts on the $2 billion biofuel plant that is planned for Prince George by the BC Hemp Corporation?
You've got me on this one. I'm going to have to do my research, and I really like to be speaking in an informed way. And I'd love to touch base with you very soon on that after I get some of my research done and get on top of that. And I think I was in Fort St. James in the summer of 2017, and they were looking at a biofuel plant as a solution to the brownouts and the energy insecurity that they were experiencing there. And to me, that was a great example of innovation and looking at how to create solutions in your community. I think that we have to be focused on recognizing that communities and towns know what they need, and that the solutions that come from communities are the ones that we should be recognizing as the direction that community wants to go. And as long as we're rooting our solutions in long-term, sustainable, the transition away from fossil fuels, we should be leaning into those solutions.
All right, Sonia, well, thank you very much for speaking with me on this today, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks. Real pleasure. Thanks so much.